Good morning. It's my joy to welcome you to worship here this morning at West End United Methodist Church. If you're visiting with us, especially for the first time, we want to extend a special welcome. I hope you'll get a chance to speak to some of the folks sitting around you. If you'd like to learn more about West End, please share with us your mailing address or your email address, and you can do that on the pads that you'll see at the end of each pew. Hopefully they're moving down your pew, and please share with us your presence here today. And also, if you're sitting in the end of the center aisle after the pad gets back to you, if you don't mind tearing off the sheet and putting it on top, that will help the ushers at the end of the service. We'll have a few announcements. You always find several announcements in the insert in your bulletin, and today you also find a special insert that will share with you all the ways you can volunteer with Project Transformation this summer. It lists our reading dates, which are in July, and also lists the items that we're collecting for their needs tree. Please bring in prayer for our youth who are currently, if they haven't left, they're in the process of leaving to be on their way to Eastern Kentucky to serve with Adventure Serve. We commissioned them at the early service. They will be building a wheelchair ramp for a family that has a 19-year-old that will be having a second brain surgery soon. The youth will be staying in tents at a state park and making all of their own food. So please be in prayer, and you'll find a list with their names in your bulletin. This morning we kicked off our summer Sunday morning series, We Are the Church. Each Sunday morning in June and July at 9:45, participants will hear from a variety of United Methodist speakers who will help us consider what kind of church God might be calling us to be here in Nashville, in the heart of Nashville in the 21st century. All are welcome to attend each week. Next week's speaker will be our own Reverend Carol Cavan Dillon, who's the senior pastor here, and she will be helping us explore the thought and theology of Methodist founder John Wesley and the unique ways of thinking about God that inform Methodist devotion and mission. As we journey through this summer on Sunday mornings in worship, we'll be looking at the books of 1 and 2 Samuel, and we'll hope that you'll be reading along as we go through this summer. Now, as we continue to worship together, let us be open to how God may be speaking to us this day.
Come, ye that love the Lord.
Thank you. open our eyes. O Lord, open our ears. O Lord, open our hearts. O Lord, open our lips, that we might declare your praise. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and wish to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the Old Testament. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At the time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and laid down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called again, a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you should say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
One Sunday night, several years ago, I was at my computer working on a paper. My daughter, Caitlin, who was about 5 at the time, came wandering in the room. It was way past her bedtime, and so annoyed, I said, "Caitlin, what are you doing up?" And she walked over and asked, "Mom, who was Virginia? You know, the one I'm named after." And I quickly explained that Virginia was her poppies, her grandfather's sister who died when she was 2 years old, and that's why her middle name was Virginia, and that's why my middle name is Virginia. Then she said, "I said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening,' and Virginia, the one who died, talked to me." I said, "What?" And she said, "Yes," she said, "she was happy and doing fine." And then Caitlin just wandered back off and went back to bed. The next day, I found out that their lesson that Sunday morning in worship had, I mean, Sunday school had been the story you just heard of Eli and Samuel. There were several times when Caitlin was around that age that she would say that she spoke with Virginia and that she was happy. But now that she's a young adult, she doesn't really remember that time. But I'll never forget that time she came in to me and shared that with me, or the time we were in carpool line, I was fixing to drop her off, and her older sister was homesick, and so we decided we would say a prayer for Kristen, and Caitlin went. And then she turned to me and said, "Mom, does God talk to you like God talks to me?" I said, "Well, not really." This morning, some 20 years later, my answer, I'm afraid, would also be, "Not really." Now, I can only speak for myself, but I have a feeling some of you might also respond in the same way. And why is that? Does God speak to us and we don't hear? Do we even listen for God's voice? Does God still speak to people today? We may sometimes feel a sense of God's presence, but hearing God's voice, not so sure that really happens, at least not to many people. Maybe it's the same as in Samuel's time. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widely known. Many of us might argue that the rarity of visions in the time of Samuel applies to our own time. But I wonder, was the Lord really quiet then, and is the Lord really quiet today, or was no one listening? Some of us may not be able to hear God's voice because we don't want to hear God's voice. We're afraid of what God might say to us if we said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." We don't want to be asked to do something difficult or uncomfortable like Samuel. I mean, imagine being a young boy who's been mentored for several years by someone, and now you must speak to Eli and speak to him condemning words about his leadership and about his children. Really, God? Could you have begun with something less threatening? Couldn't you have made the first call to action something that was pleasant, easier? And after he hears God's voice, Samuel's life is never the same. It's harder. Actually, it's much harder. And do we want that? If we don't ask God to speak to us, then we don't have to respond to his voice. I also think it can be difficult to listen for God's voice. I work in a church every day, but I must confess that I'm busy and I get caught up in what I'm doing, and I just don't think to stop and say, "God, please guide me as I go through my day." We're all busy and we have many voices that are competing for our attention. And then will we even recognize a voice or a word as being from God and not someone else? I wonder how often we miss hearing God's voice, or how often we attribute it to someone human instead. How can we learn to listen and discern God's voice? First, we need to be still, and we have to want to listen. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her book, When God is Silent, says, "Prayer should be less, Lord, hear our prayers, and more, speak, Lord, your servant is listening." What would we hear if we listened for God's voice? If we let our hearts be open enough to say, "Speak, God, for I'm listening." How do you learn to listen? I think Samuel's story gives us some insights. The story of Samuel does not begin with the voice of the Lord or with Eli's training, but rather with his mother, Hannah. Hannah was one of two wives of Elkanah. Hannah had no children, but his other wife had several. And if you know anything about those days, being barren, not being able to have children, was very difficult for a woman. So during their annual pilgrimage to Shiloh, Hannah prayed, promising that if God gave her a son, she would give him back to God. She bore a son whom she named Samuel. And after she weaned him, she took him to Eli, the priest at Shiloh, in fulfillment of her promise. It was Samuel's mother, Hannah, who cooed over him, who prayed over him, who sang over him, and then weaned him so that he would be free to learn how to be in ministry and to serve God. What are the relationships? Who are the people who've brought you to be sitting here at Weston United Methodist Church this Sunday morning? My parents, I think, took me to church every time the doors were open as I was growing up. My mother's water broke at a fellowship dinner in Fellowship Hall. Maybe it's inevitable that I would end up serving at a church. My grandmother told me that she prayed for me every day. Who are the people in your life who have shepherded you, who have prayed for you, who have nurtured you in the faith? Who have your Hannahs been? And then there's Eli. He is old and can no longer see, but he is still in service. Eli mentors Samuel into identifying God's voice. Eli's role in Samuel's calling reminds us that we learn how to discern God's voice and call in proximity to people who've come before us. They help attune our ears and hearts to hear from God. Before I came to West End, I took a year-long sabbatical to explore social justice issues in the Nashville area. And I had a detailed outline of everything I planned to do. But thanks to someone very wise, it was suggested that I might want to have some companions to journey with me to help me make sure I paid attention to my spiritual life and to listening to God and how God was guiding me in this sabbatical. I met monthly with four people for prayer and spiritual reflection. When I look back, I'm amazed at and in awe about the people who agreed to journey with me. You may recognize some of these names: Sister Kathleen Flood, Bishop Sharon Brown Christopher, Reverend Barbara Garcia, and I think all of you knew Reverend Michael Williams. They were prayerful, insightful, and wonderful spiritual companions. I've been fortunate to have many Elis in my life who have helped me and guide me on my faith journey: Sunday school teachers, youth counselors, mentors, spiritual friends. Who are your Elis? I often hear people say they can worship God just as well and maybe better when they're alone, especially in nature. And that can be true, but we are called to be disciples, and I think we need community to be our companions and help us on our faith journey. Yes, you can worship God alone, but we need others to help us discern God's voice in our lives. Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Many of you know that my husband Eddie and I have decided to move to Atlanta at the end of the summer to be closer to our grandchildren and daughter and son-in-law. It's been a difficult decision to decide to leave a great job at such a wonderful church that I love so much. I don't have anything lined up in Atlanta and don't really know where I'll end up, but I sense God has a plan. I've started packing little and ran across a card that Bishop Christopher gave me the last time I met with my spiritual companions at the end of my sabbatical. The front of the card says, "The sign of God is that we will be led where we did not plan to go." Bishop Christopher received this card when she agreed for the first time to be a district superintendent in her conference, a position that she was a little apprehensive about accepting. When she gave me the card, she said there's a note inside from a friend who sent her this card in support of when she made this decision to be a DS. She told me the card was from Jean Audrey. Now, I had never heard of Jean Audrey, although the rest of my spiritual companions seemed to know exactly who she was. For some reason, 6 years later, this week, I decided to Google her. And here is what I found. Jean Audrey was a leader who pushed the church to be more inclusive. She was one of the first women to be granted full clergy rights in the Methodist Church and the first to be nominated as a bishop, an honor she declined twice. Jean Audrey is also known for her work with the Reconciling Ministries Network, coming out during a sermon she gave at their national gathering in 1995. She once again paved the way for others in the church. Wow. Now, Jean Audrey is no longer with us in this world, and Bishop Sharon Brown Christopher has been retired, although she lives in the Nashville area. But that's quite a legacy to hold in your hand and to strive to live up to. As I thought back about when I first received this card, it occurred to me that soon after that, I helped begin a Bible study and then a worship service in the United Methodist tradition at the Tennessee Prison for Women. I'm still involved in that service today, even though there's others who've taken some of the leadership of it. And so the Circle of Grace, which is the worship service's name, and Bible study are continuing. I don't know what's coming next. Will I once again be led where I had not planned to go? I'm a little apprehensive, but I'm trying to listen and pray. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. As you come this morning to receive communion and to kneel at the rail, You might want to take a moment to thank God for those who've brought you here, brought you to the faith, your Hannahs, and for your Elis who help guide you and help you listen to God's voice. If you don't have someone who's journeying with you, you might want to ask God to put someone in your life. And if you're ready for the possibility that God may lead you where you had not planned to go, maybe you're ready to pray. Lord, speak to me. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Now be still and listen. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out a gray card. They're located in the pew racks in front of you, and place them in the offering plates as they're passed down the pews in a few moments. Please indicate if you'd like them to be shared or to remain confidential. This morning, we celebrate with Jeff Ackerman, who is excited to welcome a new granddaughter, Elizabeth Wren Ackerman, who was born on April 30th in Richmond, Virginia, to John and Kate Ackerman, and is also welcomed by her big brother, Foster. This morning, we also extend our sympathy to the family and friends of West End member Jane Stone, who passed away yesterday, June the 2nd. Service arrangements are still pending at this time. Let us now turn to our holy and loving God as we offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you still speak to us. We give you thanks that you still call us to serve you in ways both large and small. And we give you thanks that when you send us, you also equip us for the work before us. Holy One, this morning we pray that you would whisper your word of comfort and grace to those who are suffering. Declare your word of love to those who feel unloved and unlovable. Speak your word of wisdom to those who are in need of clarity and guidance. And proclaim your word of hope to those who are lost in the depths of despair. May all who are in need have ears to hear, O God. And this morning we pray for our own hearing, that we would listen intently for your still small voice, that we might hear your call and follow where you lead. Give us the words to speak, that we might share your good news with the world. And when it is better to remain silent, may the posture of our hearts and lives bear witness to your love and grace in the world. We ask all of this in the name of the Word made flesh, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As grateful recipients of the gifts of God, let us return our thanks this morning through the giving of our tithes and offerings, and may we give with joy and thanksgiving.
With you
and also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator in heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who look for that day when justice shall roll down like the waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. At his ascension, you exalted him to sit and reign with you at your right hand. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to you, and then he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. As people of God, let us join our voices together to pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven, broken and given to all. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation, poured out like grace upon us all. As we prepare to come to the table, we issue the invitation again that this is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and everyone who is here is welcome at this table. Everyone who is not here is welcome at this table. This is not a table of our denomination or of this congregation, but all are welcome. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, just a few words of instruction for you. We begin with our friends in the choir, and then those in the balcony will be followed by our friends in the transept, and then those of us in the center, and our ushers will help us with that. We have a piano over to the side this morning because there was a concert here yesterday, and so if you are on this side as you make your way back to your seats, there's room between the column and the pews, hopefully, for you. If you are unable to come forward this morning and would like to be served in your pew, Lisa and I will be making our way around the sanctuary. If you'll just let us or an usher know, we'll serve you where you are in your pews. If you're in need of gluten-free bread, there will be Zach will be serving the gluten-free. Is that right, Zach? Standing right here, if you'll just wave and let him know that you need that, they will serve you that. We always have an opportunity to make a second offering on Communion Sundays that will go particularly to the missions of our congregation. And June's Communion offering goes to our Minister's Discretionary Fund. This is a fund that we use. It's primarily Lisa who responds to these needs as they come to the door or call the church in need of assistance with rent or bus passes or food. So far, since January 1st, we have had 120 requests, and we've been able to help folks with $4,700. So your giving today goes straight to those in need in our community. The table is set before us and is open to all. Please come. All things are ready. Let us join together in giving thanks for what we have received. Will you stand as you are able and join me in prayer? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen.
Go into the world listening for the voice of God. Go into the world ready to follow Jesus Christ. Go into the world sustained by the love and power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.